Westminster Confession, Chapter 9 and Paragraph 1. Westminster Confession, Chapter 9 and Paragraph 1. God hath endued the will of man with that natural liberty that is neither forced nor by any absolute necessity of nature determined to good or evil. So, the human will. There is considerable confusion on the subject of free will, and the reason that Arminians use the term free will, and the reason we are perhaps surprised to find the term in our Reformed Confession, is that it is often used in the sense of independent ability rather than freedom to do what we want. But in the latter sense, that we are free to do what we want, Reformed people believe in free will. The question of why we want what we do want is, of course, a different matter. We know that we want what we do want because ultimately of the sovereign disposition and decree of God. So firstly, men do what they want. Men do what they want. Matthew 17, verse 12. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. What they listed, or what they wanted to do, men did to John the Baptist what they wanted to do to John the Baptist. And the same is true of Christ himself when he suffered, that wicked men wanted to crucify him, and they did crucify him. So men do what they want. When a man sins, he does so because he wants to sin. James 1 and verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Drawn away of his own lust. There may be temptations involved. There may be the work of Satan. There may be circumstances which are conducive. But the bottom line is that he fulfills his own desire. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Here the Lord by his servant calls upon the people to choose life, and he sets before them two alternatives of life and death, and they are exhorted to choose life. So men do make choices. Secondly, men are not coerced. Men are not coerced. God hath endued the will of man with that natural liberty that is neither forced, and so on. That is, what men do, it's not that something outside of themselves, as it were, overrides what they want. They are not made to sin without wanting to sin. They, much less do men do what is holy without wanting to do what is holy. Yes, they can want, for various sinful reasons, to do the things that are contained in the law, but from a sinful motive. But what we mean is that where there is holy thought and motive and action, it is a willing holy thought and action. Man acts out according to his own nature. Matthew 7 and verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And again in chapter 12 of Matthew 12 and verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So the nature, the heart of man is here described as corrupt or else good in the case of those who, since the fall, are renewed by the Spirit. And what men do is the outworking of their desires, and their desires are a reflection of their character. God is sovereign over the heart of man. He may give repentance and faith to a sinner, for example, but not by external coercion, not by, as it were, repenting and believing for them, but by renewing the heart so that they want to repent and believe. None of us by nature wants to trust Christ. All who are renewed by the Spirit do want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the work of the Spirit in renewing the heart and will means that there is a change of what we want as well as what we do. We do what we want to do, but what we want is determined by the state of our hearts, which stand in the sovereign power of God to renew or not renew the heart of a sinner. This stands in contrast with Arminianism, which teaches that man can determine to do and actually do contrary to what he is by nature, or else that the heart is actually neutral and he has a sovereign will above his reason and inclination. Shaw helpfully quotes Adam Gibb here, speaking about Calvinists. He says, "The necessity of man's willing and acting in conformity to his apprehensions and disposition is, in their opinion," that's the Calvinists, "fully consistent with all the liberty which can belong to a rational nature. The infinite being necessarily wills and acts according to the absolute perfection of his nature, yet with the highest liberty. Angels necessarily will and act according to the perfection of their natures, yet with full liberty. For this sort of necessity is so far from interfering with liberty of will that the perfection of the will's liberty lies in such a necessity. The very essence of its liberty lies in acting consciously, choosing or refusing, without any external compulsion or constraint, but according to inward principles of rational apprehension and natural disposition. So, that's simply saying that we, our desires, our actions, and our desires reflect what we are in our natures. That's true of God himself. God wills according to his holy character. And his creatures, they desire to do according to whether their nature is holy or wicked. God wills according to his own character, and even men do so. Though the character of the individual creature is determined by the sovereign good pleasure of God. Thirdly, no perpetual character by nature. No perpetual character by nature. The confession goes on, nor by any absolute necessity of nature determined to good or evil. This difficult phrase is actually ignored by the various commentators that I've read on the Confession of Faith. But it would seem to mean that as by creation, God neither made man sinful nor made him unchangeably holy. We believe that's what it means, as far as we can tell, that God neither made man sinful nor made him unchangeably holy. This would fit in with what follows, because you see the sections that follow deal with the will of man in his state of innocence, the will of man after the fall, the will of man by God's grace when he's renewed in this world, and the will of man in the state of glory. It does not mean that man does not have a nature in accordance with which he acts, a moral nature in accordance with which he acts. For it to mean that would contradict the whole purpose of the paragraph and of the whole chapter. So in summary then, we do what we want. It has never been part of the Reformed faith to deny that we do what we want within the constraints of various constraints of providence, but we do what we want. By nature, we want sin. The thoughts and the imaginations of the heart of man are evil only continually. By nature, we are sinners, totally depraved, and we want sin. Yes, there's variation amongst men as to how that sinful nature shows itself, and the ways in which sin manifests itself, and even the order of priority of particular sins. Some people, a particular expression of sin is more important to them than others, whereas perhaps another sinner, it's something else that's most important to them. But by nature, we are corrupt, and we manifest that in our sinful desires worked out in sinful words and actions, though they don't all go that length. So the reason we have sinful desires is because we have a sinful nature. If we have begun to want what we should want, then it's by grace. If we have begun to want what we should want, Christ and salvation in Him, then it's by grace. Not one of us naturally wants Christ. The Lord Jesus never said, "You want me, but you can't come." He said, "Ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life." He also said, "No man can come to me, except it were given to him of the Father." Unless the Father changed the heart, changed the desires of the heart, they would not come, and they would not want to come. If we have begun to want Christ, not merely his benefits, but Christ himself, it's because of the work of the Holy Spirit of God. What we want shows what we are. Whether still dead in trespasses and in sins, or whether quickened, renewed by the Spirit of God. If we desire Christ, it's of the Spirit of God. It's not in us by nature, but only by the renewing work of the Spirit of God. There is nothing in biblical Calvinism that tells men they can't do what they want. But it does say, it does teach that the sovereign good pleasure determines what we want, whether our hearts are renewed by the Spirit or not. So if we want Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit has renewed our natures. And we should be thankful. The slightest flicker of desire for Christ, the slightest flicker of true desire for Christ, is the result of the renewing work of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we have that, then it's by grace, and we should be thankful to God.